This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The violence is increasing, and we're going to talk about maybe some things you need to do. Megyn Kelly is here to discuss that and so many other things. Alex Sawyer is going to talk about the Supreme Court, the case against James Comey, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so I know you woke up to the same thing I woke up to on Sunday. You woke up, maybe you were getting ready for church, maybe you weren't, but you saw there had been a Mormon church in Michigan that had been attacked. And we're still sorting out, sifting through the details on the why, but the why is actually not what I want to talk about tonight, not at least right now in the opening. We'll get to some why here in a moment. I want to just go back to something I discussed with you before. Remember when I said this back in July?
This is now going to increase from here. Organized, planned street violence, and the animals who commit this kind of violence are going to move on from hard targets like Bortak, and they're going to come to your church. They're going to come to your child's school. They're going to find soft targets where they can hurt the people they want to hurt. They're not going to accept failure forever. This is not to get you to hide or even be afraid or stay in your home. This is to let you know to keep your eyes open, carry if you can, and be ready to protect yourself, because organized street communism in this country is going to increase from here.
Cut. Nope. Before we get to the actual communism portion of this, let's just focus on the nitty-gritty, what matters to you, what matters to me. The safety of our loved ones, safety of ourselves. You know what I've done in the past week? I've done both of these things in the past week. I sat down at my children's school and had a discussion with the leadership there about the security at the school. Now, don't get me wrong, the school has security. All the little buzz, locked doors, armed police. But I looked around and I thought to myself, if I was a suicidal demon who wanted to hurt these kids, could I? And the answer to that question was yes. Remember, it's something we've learned after years and years and years of dealing with Islamic Jihad. It's extremely, extremely difficult to stop someone who is willing to die or wants to die. Extremely, extremely difficult. And you have to put yourself in that mindset when you look at your child's school. If someone is willing to die in order to kill these kids, can they get to these kids? And most schools, for most schools, the answer to that question is yes. Now, I said I did a couple things this past week. You know what I did yesterday? It was actually during church, during the worship service. Just kind of felt compelled, got up, walked out, and just started doing what we would know as a threat assessment. Walked out the front doors, looked around, took a look at the security, took a look at the rent-a-cop they have in the church. We'll get to that in a moment. Took a look at the back door, the nursery. If I was a suicidal demon and I wanted to come kill a bunch of Christians on a Sunday in my church, could I do it? And the answer was, easily. Easily. Why? Back door is sitting there unlocked. Could have walked right in. Oh, but there's a cop there in uniform. There sure was. There was a cop there in uniform. You know what he was doing? I'm not even kidding. I actually stood there, and watched him for a few minutes just to see. In fact, I walked back and forth. I'm 6'8". Is he going to look up? Is he going to notice me? Is he going to register my face? He was sitting at a table on his phone like a teenage girl the whole time. If I was a demon, shoot, I could have killed him and then went and killed everybody else easily. Easily. Have you done this in your school, your church? It's fine if you haven't. Now's the time to do it. And once you do it, demand better. I told my school, children's school, look, we need more. This is not good enough. This is a target now. We live, sadly, in a country where schools are a target for demons. We have to try to protect it as if it's a target. Same thing in your house of worship, whatever that house may be. By the way, this applies to synagogues. If you have a house of worship, well, the mosques are probably okay, but that's another story. If you have a house of worship, are they doing enough? Put yourself in the mind of a suicidal demon. Is your church a hard target, or is your church ripe for the picking? And don't say what you may be saying right now, even though I sympathize. I don't want to live in that world. I get it. I don't want to live in that world. I thought I was done having to look around for things like that. That is the world in which we've been given. You cannot wish it away, and neither can I. Start taking steps to ensure your soft targets, the soft targets in your life, are protected, because there are evil people everywhere. Now let's talk about the communist aspect of this. We have talked endlessly. It's been an endless discussion about elite communists and street communists on this show. Elite communists generally are not true believers. Sometimes they are. They're just out for money and power. These are media people, politicians, and they understand very well that they have foot soldiers, shock troops, street communists. Now the animals, the street communists, generally are true believers, almost always violent, mentally ill, sometimes drugged out, and they have been radicalized over and over and over again by the rhetoric from the elite communists. Elite communists give orders, not necessarily direct orders, hey, you go kill him, more like soft orders, more subtle orders, if you will. Hey, fascists are evil, Nazis are evil, that guy, he's a Nazi. Anyway, do with that what you will. And so in the wake of the murder of Charlie Kirk, maybe you thought that Democrats, people in the media, would stop the rhetoric. They would change the rhetoric. But not only have they not stopped, they have increased. This is courtesy of Western Lensman. Why have they increased it?
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Why? Because they want people hurt. You can keep telling a Democrat that your rhetoric is getting people hurt, but they know. That's why they do it. You are a good person, so you can't understand why they wouldn't stop. Why won't you change? Their political enemies are being hurt. They don't want it to stop. They're not going to stop. Did you know a Health and Human Services official was followed at the United Nations? They were at the United Nations, followed into the bathroom and assaulted by a street animal. You know what the street animal was calling them? Nazi. Fascist. This is the result. And they're not backing away. Gavin Newsom is currently the likely Democrat nominee for president in the year 2028. Gavin Newsom's social media account, quote, this is after the assassination, Stephen Miller is a fascist. They want you hurt. It's hard to accept. And this, the result of this is the animal communist base has come to accept, in fact, has come to desire their political opponents harmed. You see this video?
I don't want to be a violent person, but in this case, I feel like that we just need to, I hate to say the word, but assassinate him.
What was your reaction this July when the assassin almost got Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania?
I was happy.
Happy that he missed or happy that it happened?
No, happy that it happened. And too bad that it wasn't in the head.
What was your reaction in July when an assassin came an inch away from ending Trump?
Disappointment that they didn't follow through. They missed.
That shot?
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God. It could have been wonderful.
If he'd been shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I can sum it up in one word.
Drad that it happened or drad that it missed?
Drad that it missed. I won't lie. I do not support violence in any way. I think I'm going to let you finish it, Charles.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm so shy and reserved. my thought was, if he had a good scope instead of a red dot, we would not be going through this. I consider that kid to be a hero.
That's why they do it. The endless rhetoric. And remember, this is not recent. 10 years of Trump's a Nazi, you're a Nazi, Trump's a Nazi, you're a Nazi, Trump's a Nazi, you're a Nazi. 10 years. What it has done is, my buddy Aaron McIntyre called it a moral blank check, and he's so right about that. It was a great line. It has given these people, it has given the street animals a moral blank check to do whatever they want. Because as we've discussed so many times before, what can't you do to a Nazi? If I had Hitler back alive, sitting in a room, just you and Hitler, and he's handcuffed, and you knew legally you couldn't get in trouble, and I had knives and hammers and guns and scissors sitting in front of you, what would you do? What would your moral code allow you to do to Hitler? This is exactly how they think about you, your church, your child's school, your political leaders in the media, the elected officials. This is the situation we have now. It's an extraordinarily dangerous situation. We're going to talk to Megyn Kelly about it now. Joining me now, host of the wonderful Megyn Kelly Show, which is bigger than it's ever been, no surprise. And I've heard rumors that there's a little tour coming up, which we'll get to in a moment. The wonderful Megyn Kelly. Megyn, before we get to this, I'm sure very small, not very popular tour you have coming. Street violence. I know you've been hot on this, and I'm glad you have been. It's very clear that they're not going to change this rhetoric, fascist, Nazi, because they want bad things to happen. How am I supposed to interpret it in any other way, Megyn?
You're not. You know, it's the old, when people show you who they are, believe them. The first time would have been ideal. But no, they clearly don't want it to stop. You know, the latest polls show 34% of college students think it's okay to use violence against somebody who has the wrong ideas or says the wrong things. And this is an outgrowth of that. Those people grow up and then they go out on the streets and they join Antifa and then they're saying, like, F ICE pigs and actually assaulting them or firebombing them. So President Trump has no choice but to deploy the National Guard to protect our ICE agents who are doing the noble thing, trying to clean up Joe Biden's mess. Not a thing is happening on the streets right now that doesn't directly start with him. He created the mess. President Trump is trying to fix it. He's trying to keep people safe. He started with the worst first. So the ones he's going after in these communities tend to be people who are not only here illegally, but who have committed additional crimes, whether it's three-time drunk driving or felons of, you know, violent crimes. Why would we want to be protecting them? Why would Portland, Oregon want those people to stay in their community? So he's got to just put the gas pedal down. And now we have to get serious about going after the groups that encourage this, whether it's Antifa or it's Trans-Tifa or whoever is online encouraging and fomenting the violence, because we're not going to be the left and claim that speech is violence, but actual participation and planning in crimes that actually then take place is a crime. And you can go after people for that. So we need to.
Megan, you're much better on legal stuff, well, and a lot of things than I am. So RICO, taking apart gigantic criminal organizations, is very difficult and it's very complicated. That much I very much do know as a mafia fan who's studied all these things. Do we have the people it takes to take apart these organizations, not just arresting some Antifa purple-haired freak on the streets, but the funders, the organizations, that because these organizations have been set up to have all these legal firewalls? Does Pam Bondi and the Justice Department, do we have the horses to make this run?
I don't know the answer to that. I hope the answer is yes. I mean, if you're talking about somebody like a George Soros, he's going to be so well insulated that it's going to be very hard to get him. But there may be smaller players that you could start with. And to be honest, you might only need to go after a couple to make an example out of them before some of the lesser players disband, or even the George Soros or Alex Soroses of the world back off of some of this so-called organizing. They want you to believe that's all it is that they do. Like the Trantifa group is a good example. Like these online trans activists who have been communicating, we believe, about things possibly even including the Charlie Kirk murder. That's one of the things that I know they're looking into. And listen, I don't know exactly what they're going to find, but I did hear from a well-placed source that they believe that that's actually going to pan out, that there was some sort of organization before this and there was some coordination. Now, that's only one source. I don't have it double sourced. But my point is simply, if they can start with a group like that, that was online coordinating and celebrating and potentially even helping and plan an event like that, and then you are completely merciless with them, I mean, that could really send the right message. It's tough, though. As we saw with the Trump lawfare, you know, rightfully so, it's tough to bring RICO cases against anyone other than the classic people for whom that law was designed, which are mobsters. But there are things like conspiracy. You know, if you've got conspiracy to commit arson, to commit murder, conspiracy to trespass, it might not be like the most severe crime in the world. But if you have conspiracy, you have two actors conspiring about a crime and then one takes an affirmative act, you got conspiracy, criminal conspiracy, and you could start with those crimes. It doesn't all have to be the mega level RICO in order to start making these people pay a penalty for what they do.
Megan, you know, we'll come back to the street animals in a few, because this actually ties directly into one of the reasons I brought you on, Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, you had started to organize a media tour, a talking tour, I guess, where you're going out, you're meeting people, you're standing in front of people, and you have chosen not to cancel that, Megan. You are fairly high profile. Aren't you afraid?
I'm not afraid. I'm really not. Like, my concerns about safety definitely went up. I mean, I'm not an idiot, but that can all be managed, you know? So we had to spend more money than we were budgeting on security. That's fine. That's the least I owe my guests, like you, Jesse Kelly, and my audience. My audience, too, is going to want to... They're signing up in droves. I didn't know whether the audience would still want to come out, because, you know, they got to be thinking about it, too. The ticket sales went up, not down, because people are feeling what I think you're feeling and what I'm feeling, which is now it's even more important that we get out. Now we have to go. Now it's like, now we have no choice but to do every single tour stop and to do it boldly and unapologetically and to say all the things and to not cower even a little, or they've won and they'll do more of it. Like, the only way of stopping it is to show them we are not cowed. We are not silent. In fact, we're going to be louder than ever. And honestly, to go to the absolute worst place, Jesse, I don't think anything will happen to me, but God forbid it did, then I would be depending on you and all of our other friends in conservative media to take the message tenfold beyond where it was when I was saying it. Like, we just, that is the only solution to this problem.
Megan, I love to hear it. I love that attitude, and you're right. It's wild to me. We have Turning Point USA chapters popping up everywhere. Church attendance up 25% since this thing. Like you mentioned, your tour, my phone is melting ever since you announced your tour. Hey, Jesse, can you get me in? It's the opposite of what I probably would have expected. And it's so, so inspiring to watch. Are they afraid? Is this why the violence is happening? Is this why there's a clear uptick in violence? Do they feel like they're losing?
I think it's a combination of things. I do think they're afraid, for sure. I mean, certain groups in particular are losing, and that's obvious. But I also, like, I do think there's a problem with how we chased faith out of our lives, and people are feeling empty inside, and they replaced it with wokeism, and now wokeism is being killed bit by bit for just cause. And so they're in a bit of a downward spiral and a panic that they have nothing. And some faction of them will get on board and return to church the way many disaffected people on the right are in the wake of Charlie's death, and others will turn to darker forces. And I don't know, I've just been thinking lately, I'm not that religious, Jesse. I'm certainly not as religious as Charlie was, and I don't know scripture the way Charlie did, but I can't help but think there's some level of like demonic inspiration happening over on the other side. Like, it started, didn't start, but for me, like, the most recent and obvious example was the murder of those children at Ascension School in Minneapolis, where they were praying in the church. Little kids got killed by somebody who, when his drawing showed that he looked in the mirror and he saw a demon. He was doing target practice on Jesus's faith. And then you see Charlie Kirk, like, an evangelist of the truest kind, gunned down in the prime of his life with a wife and two children at home. And then you see this guy, you know, in Michigan attack Christians, Mormons worshiping in a church and setting them on fire. I don't want to ignore like the satanic behavior happening before my very eyes. I've been wearing my cross more and more because you have to acknowledge when there's evil right in front of you. And I feel like we invited it, not you and I, but we as a society have been inviting it by rejecting God, by rejecting scripture, by rejecting, you know, living in accordance with true faith and what God wants of us. And now the fruits of that are being seen everywhere. So now I think that's part of the reason we're seeing this revival and people going back to church.
Megan, last question here before we get to your tour wrap up. What can the Democrat Party change? It seems like, and I've been talking about this a lot, that they have, you know, Dr. Frankenstein created his monster, all these rabid animals now, and now even if they wanted to, even if they know they should moderate on this or stop with the crazy on that, it seems like they're kind of trapped and can't change. I don't ever want to say anything is beyond saving, but doesn't it feel like they're trapped?
Yes, they need to break up. The Democratic Party, in the same way we just saw that announcement on X last week that the LGB is breaking up with the TQ, like they've had it, so this new group is formed that's just LGB. They're like, why do we have to be stuck with those people? That's not our thing. The same thing needs to happen within the Democrat Party. You need like old school liberals who are not woke and just want like abortion to break up with the lunatics who think it's okay to kill people for bad speech. And it's okay to cut off healthy body parts on children. And it's okay to divide everybody by race and tell little black kids that they're less than and that they're never going to overcome it. And little white kids that they've got original sin and they'll never overcome that. These people are loons who send all the men into the women's prisons and let them have at the women. No, what you're locked up. Just suck it up. Deal with it. Like they must have a breakup. Otherwise, they're never going to win. Like, how can the normie Dems, and there are some normie Dems out there, like Bill Maher, you know, he's not woke. He's a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He needs to find his tribe and convince them to start something new. And there's probably enough disaffected Republicans, like never Trump Republicans, who they could bond with. But we're going to have to move to a different kind of system than the two-party, because if I were Dem, that's what I'd be saying, because they'll never win again. They cannot get this coalition together. Their woke left flank is going full communist, as you know, with Zoran Mamdani and some others running across country now. They've drifted so far, they're not coming back. So I don't know what they do other than acknowledge that reality and get better organized to deal with it.
Megan, if I would like to come see Megyn Kelly in person, and I have had the privilege, how do I go about going to this tour?
Well, we've made it super easy. You just go to MegynKelly.com, and you can buy the tickets there. And you can also sign up if you're so interested in getting like a behind-the-scenes meet and greet. You can meet me, Jesse Kelly, and Donald Trump Jr. Hello. Who wouldn't want to do that? Just go to MegynKelly.com. You can buy the tickets, and then you can do the meet and greet if you sign up for that, too.
Appreciate you very much. I will see you in a few weeks in Sugarland. All right. James Comey got indicted. We're going to talk about why that's very important. It's very good. It's fraught with danger. The journey is to make it sound like an old novel, but we'll discuss that. Speaking of danger, there's danger in your children opening up your mail. You want to know what happened to me? I got a box. Occasionally, people will send things to the house. I got a box. Big cardboard box, big I'd say. And I'm at work, obviously. Kids get home from school. They see a box with my name on it. They think, oh, there might be some kind of goodies in here because sometimes people send me cool things. They bust open the box, and what do they find? An entire box of Massa chips. Not the corn chips, which you know I'm obsessed with. You know Massa has all these potato chips. Not all these cancer-causing filth ingredients either. Potato chips you can eat without the guilt. Even my health freak wife eats their chips. Well, they have all these different potato chip flavors, like smokehouse, and one tastes like Italian dressing. Freaking amazing. By the time I got home, there was one bag left. I think I started out with eight. They just took them and hid them in their room. Massa chips, it's caused a war in my house. You want a huge discount? You want to try some Massa chips? MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay, let's talk briefly about the James Comey case, the James Comey indictment. First, I have been calling for the same thing you've been calling for a long time. We have to start sending government people to prison. The people in power who abuse their power have to go to prison the same way you would go to prison, the same way I would go to prison. We can no longer have this system where communist scumbags in the government get off scot-free every single time. We don't even have a country if that's what we're going to deal with here. So government people have to go to prison. Well, walking backwards from there, how do we send them to prison? Well, we have to put them on trial. Well, how do we get them on trial? We have to indict them. So that's all good stuff. James Comey famously got indicted for, I don't know, things like this, courtesy of Mays Moore.
Director Comey, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
Never.
Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No. I needed to get that out into the public square, and so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
That's bad. And, you know, a credit to Chuck Grassley. He very obviously knew the answer to the question when he asked the question, essentially walking James Comey into a trap where he perjured himself, and that's one of the things he's been indicted for. I've been told there will be more, but we'll set that aside for a moment. All this is very, very, very good. Okay, this is good. And the process can be the punishment. James Comey will probably get communist help funding his legal fees, but no matter what, it's going to be a very stressful, probably very expensive time in the near future for James Comey as that dirtball has to defend himself for the crimes he committed. This is also a very, very good thing. But we have to win these cases. Just an indictment, just a trial is not enough. As of right now, and from my understanding, this could change, as of right now, he's going to be tried in Virginia. the portion of Virginia that's only slightly to the right of North Korea. How many Democrats on that jury are going to vote guilty when James Comey comes up? How many? The Justice Department itself. You realize that James Comey is not going to have your attorney or my attorney. He's going to have $2,000 an hour amazing defense attorneys. The Justice Department is going to have to go up against them and win. Do we have the people? Do we have the horses for that? Like I talked to Megyn Kelly about that in the opening of the show. I don't know, was pretty much what she said, and I don't know either. I am happy. I don't want to poo-poo something great. I am happy the indictment happened. I am. We got to follow through. We got to go all the way. We have to win this. It can't just be a show trial. That's my only point. All right. We'll talk to Alex Sawyer about some legal matters, including the Comey stuff, in a moment. Before we talk to Alex Sawyer, I want to talk to you about something really, really important. And it can get kind of personal. It can, I realize that. But your testosterone, it's dropping. It's dropping because there's estrogen in the water. We shower in it. This synthetic estrogen, it's from women's birth control. It's everywhere now in our water supply. And the result is the United States of America, our men, have lost 50% of their testosterone in the last 50 years. 50% in 50 years. That's disastrous for our country. Start taking care of the problem. Be proactive about the problem, or if you're already having a problem, take care of it with Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Try a male vitality stack. I take mine every single day. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
So a lot of people have suggested that there are a range of factors that would make it difficult to put a former, the system has not been tested in this way. Do you agree with that, that it would be difficult or nearly impossible for the law enforcement institutions to put him in actual jail?
No, they would just put him in a double wide somewhere out near the fence, out in the grass. And he would eat there, he'd shower there, he'd exercise there, he'd be away, as Danya Perry said, from general population, but it's obviously doable.
Wow. That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful arrangement. Would probably apply to anyone else who might be going to prison from the government. Joining me now, the wonderful Alex Sawyer, author of the book Lawless Lawfare, which is wildly, wildly an appropriate book for where we are right now. Well, Alex, the tables appear to have turned.
Yes, the tables have definitely turned. I know President Trump and his supporters have been waiting for this moment for quite some time. In the first couple of chapters of my book, I actually write about Russiagate, and it seems like 10 years later, this has come full circle. One of the major issues with Comey's indictment, which I think is at least somewhat beneficial to President Trump and his supporters, is that this came in the Eastern District of Virginia instead of Washington, D.C. We know the D.C. court system is extremely blue. Eastern District of Virginia is also very blue, but it has a little bit more red and a little bit less of a dynamic between Democratic-appointed judges versus Republican-appointed judges. I think the first appearance is going to be in front of a Biden appointee. So obviously, judges matter who appointed them and how they might handle the case going forward. One last thing about the venue is that it's kind of referred to as a rocket docket, meaning cases move really fast in the Eastern District of Virginia compared to other courts. So it doesn't look like Comey would be able to run out the clock in hopes of a different DOJ coming in anytime soon before he might have to stand trial.
Okay, Alex, can you give me some nitty-gritty on the case itself? I don't need any help hating James Comey. I've hated him for a very long time. But as far as the actual evidence against him, you don't have to tell me what I want to hear. Is it pretty black and white? He did it. He's guilty. Is there a lot of gray area? It's going to depend on this or that. But what kind of case do we have?
Yeah, so right now you have James Comey's word that he, basically that he didn't leak against at least two other witnesses that we know of that say, yes, in fact, he did. So we know Andrew McCabe, who worked under Comey, said that he had Comey had authorized leaks. Okay, so that's one. Two was that his longtime law professor friend, Daniel Richmond, he was from Columbia Law School, if you remember, and it was admitted that Comey would share notes with him, all that sort of thing. Well, he has, it's been reported that he told, this law professor told federal law enforcement that he would leak on behalf of Comey, basically talk to the press for Comey and make, you know, the FBI seem in more positive light. One of the reports, I think it might be from Just the News, had noted actually that Richmond said that he was given highly classified information from Comey. So to me, I also wondered if that might be another charge the feds were looking at, the leaking not just of information, but that the idea that Comey shared classified information with someone who might not have been authorized to have that. I think that would be pretty big. That would fall under the Espionage Act. There's not necessarily a statute of limitations for that. So, you know, I've kind of been one to wonder if more charges might be coming as well.
Fingers crossed for that. I am greatly enjoying the media who was, boy, they just had the vapors about putting Donald Trump away, now having to try to explain how this is a disaster. Mays Moore put together this little montage of Andrew Weissman.
He is being treated no better or worse than anyone else. This is not selective prosecution, that this is not somebody who's singled out, that he is being treated just like anyone else. That is what it means to have a rule of law. That is what the Justice Department is really signaling and messaging here, is that everyone will be treated, as Merrick Garland has said, as, you know, equally in this country. This is really a great day for America.
This is such a horrendous moment for the rule of law, for the Department of Justice, for the country writ large, being singled out for impermissible reasons. And so just because you did your job, but just because you referred the president or you opened an investigation into the president, those are not legitimate reasons to have a sort of tit for tat vindictive prosecution. Mm-hmm. This looks like it. The emperor has no clothes. That this is the abuse that it appears to be.
Alex, these people really do think the Justice Department should just work for them, right? They're pretty obvious about it.
Yeah, I find it kind of surprising, to be honest, because there's a lot of Democrats that I guess might have short memory. They weren't a big fan of Comey either back when it was October, I think, of 2016, when he came out and basically made this announcement about Hillary Clinton, how her handling of emails, the private email server, how it was very negligent, essentially, is what he said. But he wouldn't go as far as to say that there needed to be criminal charges. In fact, he said there shouldn't be, which was a whole issue Republicans had at the time. He overstepped. That wasn't even his realm to do that. That should have been the Justice Department. But he took it upon himself. And Democrats weren't happy at the time. They said that that was largely an October surprise that hurt Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election against Donald Trump. Now it looks like they're coming to his defense simply because, you know, he's the first, I guess you could say, critic of the president that's been indicted. More to come, I'm guessing, given what we've heard from some of the Trump administration officials. I've wondered if we're going to see any more RICO allegations, kind of a conspiracy that's been hinted upon from, I think it was Tulsi Gabbard early on, maybe James Clapper, others that were involved in this initial, 2016-2017 probe into the 2016 Trump campaign with the whole Russia allegations. You know, more to come, I'm sure. But yeah, I think Democrats have short memory.
Alex, what about Christopher Wray? Cash Patel's going on Fox News essentially just saying he lied to Congress. I don't know what kind of immunity you have as the former head of the FBI. In my opinion, there shouldn't be any, but that's another story entirely. Is there a chance we see that scumbag burn?
Well, I would say there's no immunity. I mean, look at what's happened with James Comey, right? He's facing charges. And so if it was true that Ray lied while under oath, he would be able to face the same similar charges. However, I'm not sure if the first of all, the evidence evidence or the statement would be as clear cut as what we have with Comey. I actually wrote down one of the quotes. I think it was Ray told the House committee, if you are asking if the violence at the Capitol was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources or agents, the answer is no. And it does seem like Patel has come out and said there weren't agents at the actual speech where President Trump spoke. They didn't go from there to the Capitol, instigate any violence, that they were sent out actually after the rioting already began. So I think he kind of played with words, a little bit of a DC answer, which, you know, he was very much, I'm sure, trained and experienced to give. So I'm not sure it would be as clear cut as a case that we have with Comey, but it does beg questions about if these reports are accurate, that 274 FBI agents were sent to the Capitol on January 6th carrying a firearm, but in plain clothing and not marked as agents. You know, what's the reason for that? Why would they even do that? I think it would even present a safety concern for the agents, as we know other law enforcement agencies were around and responding at the time. So yeah, I definitely think there's more investigation that needs to happen. More answers need to come forward. But I don't know if Ray's answer was as clear cut as what we've had and what we've seen with Comey.
Alex, let's talk about the Supreme Court. Trump is calling on them to review birthright citizenship, which obviously is a disgrace. But how does this work? Can the president just say to the Supreme Court, hey, you need to hear this? And will they hear it? And if they do hear it, how are they going to decide?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, basically what happens on these cert petitions is the Trump administration goes to the Supreme Court and asks them to review lower court rulings against them. And so here, this is on the birthright citizenship issue. And what it comes down to is the 14th Amendment. And basically, President Trump has argued that I should start with the 14th Amendment. It reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So President Trump has argued that, you know, those born here from illegals are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. In fact, they're subject to the country from which their parents come from. So that's their argument. Now, critics say that there's precedent from decades ago. I can't even remember. I wrote down the case, but basically, I think it's Wong King Kim Ark, that case. And Justice Sotomayor cited this in an earlier dissent, basically saying that it did attest to those who are on the U.S. soil, are guaranteed, you know, rights and citizenship under our Constitution. Basically, that it's a fundamental rule of citizenship guaranteed by the 14th Amendment is what Justice Sotomayor said. So, one, we already kind of have an idea of where she's going to fall. Not that we were, you know, thinking she would be for President Trump at all. But what would happen for this case to get argument scheduled would be at least four justices would have to vote in favor of hearing it. We won't know who they are. I wouldn't be surprised if we do get the justices to take this up, because if you remember right, at the end of last term, they took it up, but on the issue of nationwide injunctions. So they first decided we're going to look at this and see some of these lower court judges that are issuing these national blockades on President Trump's policies, whether they've overstepped their authority to do so. And they decided that, and they basically said in order for nationwide injunctions to be issued, there should be a class action or state should be the plaintiffs, that sort of thing. Judges have kind of found ways around that. They are moving quickly to certify classes in order to block the president's agenda. So I'm not sure that ruling actually had as big of an impact as we had initially thought. But given that this case is now back on the merits, on the actual 14th Amendment issue, I wouldn't be surprised if the court took it. Now, lower courts have ruled pretty much universally against President Trump and said no, because of that precedent that I cited earlier from Justice Sotomayor, that, you know, they've said no, President Trump's take on the 14th Amendment is incorrect. And so because all lower courts haven't conflicted, right, they've all ruled one way, that gives the justices reason to kind of wait and see if there's a court out there that rules for the president. They like to take cases where lower courts have ruled differently to kind of set a standard. So we will find out. It could be weeks from now when we know if it's going to get scheduled for oral arguments. But yes, we won't really know what justices voted to hear it, but at least four would have to do so.
Alex, as always, appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. We have Light in the Mood next. Kathy Hochul went to the Ryder Cup. And she shouldn't have gone to the Ryder Cup, but she did because she's an idiot and doesn't understand how normal people think. Before we get to Kathy Hochul, why do you have Verizon? Why do you have AT&T or T-Mobile? And I understand you're going to have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. We're going to have cell phones. I get it. But you don't have to support with your money these gigantic cell phone companies who hate you, who take your money and use your money against your values. You don't have to do that. Pure Talk is here to change that. They're on the same network. I'm not asking you to sacrifice service. They'll charge you less. And Pure Talk doesn't give the Black Lives Matter. Pure Talk isn't about DEI, ESG, all the communist filth out there. Pure Talk's about America. Their CEO is a veteran, Vietnam veteran. Pure Talk is so American, they only hire Americans in customer service. When you switch to Pure Talk, you'll speak to a pleasant American who speaks English. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and switch. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. We do love making fun of Democrats, and we especially love how if you spend enough time in Democrat politics as a Democrat politician, you tend to lose the ability to be human. And it happens for this reason. It's a bubble. The communist ecosystem is a complete bubble. So if you only hang out with other Democrats, you only work with other Democrats, when you're turning on the television or the radio, you're only listening to other Democrats, you're getting all kinds of reinforcement on what you believe. But what's happening is you are slowly but surely losing your ability to relate to other human beings. And so you try to do things that normal people do so you can appear normal, but it doesn't work. Like, you remember when Chuck Schumer posted up that picture, I forget what the holiday was, July 4th, Labor Day, I don't remember, of him cooking burgers, only the burgers were raw on the grill and he already had the cheese on there. It never even occurred to Chuck Schumer that's not how you cook a burger. He's just such a lizard person, it went by him. New York Governor Kathy Hochul went to the Ryder Cup, and here's how it went.
On for New York, your friend and mine in attendance, Governor Kathy Hochul. Governor, thank you so much for being here. And thank you to your team, too, for getting us ready for the Ryder Cup in New York.
I would like to say a few thank yous to Governor of State New York, Kathy Hochul.
As we prepare to tee it up on Friday, I want to thank the people who made this journey possible. To Governor Hochul, to the teams of New York.
Why would you show up there and be introduced? I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.